Sorry, almost had a sneeze.
I thought he was going to sneeze.
I thought I had to. Well.
We just lost Emily.
We did.
Please.
Grumpy, table for one. 80s
music is terrible. It's the worst that's ever happened.
It's from 93.
For the Cast and Blast Florida podcast, serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
How's it going, Nate?
Pretty good, Trav. How are you?
Good. You ready to do this episode?
Let's do it.
What are we talking about tonight?
We're talking about pet peeves in the outdoors.
Oh, this is going to be a fun one.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get going too far on it, though, we just wanted to ask everybody, like we do almost every week, to please take a minute, go to iTunes and leave us a review or at least leave us a ranking. Some folks have contacted us and said, I'm not quite sure how the review thing works. On your phone, it will be a little flaky sometimes. You'll think it didn't submit, but as long as it says sent, sometimes it'll take up to a day to appear in the reviews. We really appreciate you guys taking the time to do that. It's a huge help for us.
All right, Trav, the definition of pet peeves is something that a particular person finds especially annoying. In the outdoors, there's a lot of them, and everybody I hunt and fish with has one, at least one.
At least one.
Yeah. Many of them have several. We have several that we're going to talk about today. And I'm reading through this list, and I think I'm in agreement with most, if not all of them.
100%. The one important thing is we're not doing social media pet peeves.
Right. That's another episode.
Yeah. We're going to do a separate episode on the don'ts of social media for outdoors people. First one I've got is one I actually talked about a couple weeks ago. This is the number one pet peeve for me on my boat, and you'll chime right in with me, I think. That's when people reel the fish through the tip of the rod. Like, they reel it until they can't reel it anymore. Like, they're trying to scale it for me.
Yeah. Fillet it through the eye tips.
Yeah, or a bobber, or a weight, or a hook, or anything else. It's unbelievable how much strain my tackle goes through in the course of a fishing season.
Well, when they do that, you got to be like, okay, you got to release the bail now, give me some slack. And it's kind of just an ordeal when people do that.
It is an ordeal, and it becomes more of an ordeal later in the day and the hotter it is.
Yes.
Yep. So what's next on the list?
Next on the list is throwing empties back into the cooler.
Oh, God.
I think I agree with you on this one. Let's try to get like a bag or a hatch, an empty hatch to put them in. And let's kind of designate a trash spot, not the cooler.
So on my charters, that's the first thing I tell my clients. Trash goes in. I have a live well that's a trash live well.
Yeah.
Has a bucket in it, and that's where the trash goes. For whatever reason, a lot of people like to throw their empties back in the cooler. And this drives me nuts because at the end of the day, you want a cold beverage, and you reach in there, and you can't tell what's full because they fill up with the slushy water.
Yes.
And just drives me, oh, that's a pet peeve. That is literally one of my pet peeves.
Yeah.
I think next on our list is not having the boat ready to launch when you pull up.
Agree. Waiting on somebody for like 10 minutes for them to get things ready and going, and they're blocking the whole ramp, and there's like a line of like six trucks waiting with.
It's like they just realized they're going fishing.
Yeah. It's like when you stop to wait for the last person, get out, unhook your boat, get things ready.
Go ahead and take all the straps off, leave one hook on the front.
Right. So it doesn't slide off the trailer onto the. Yeah, I'm with you on this one.
I kind of want to put backing a trailer in there. As a pet peeve, that's not on our list, but I kind of want to put it on there because it's a little painful when you have a two-slot ramp and somebody takes up both sides of it.
Yes.
But I'm not gonna do that. That doesn't count, so listeners, you can discount that one.
All right, next one we've got is overcalling ducks and turkeys.
Oh, my God.
I see this all the time.
Yeah.
You're sitting on, we'll just Lake Okeechobee
yep.
in the middle of November, and the only thing flying around is ringnecks.
Yep.
And there's a guy 200 yards behind you wailing on a mallard duck call.
Highballing it.
I mean, as hard as he can.
Yep.
And it's doing nothing.
You know the worst thing that could possibly happen? I'm going to tell you the worst thing that could ever possibly happen for duck hunting would be for one of those ringnecks to come into those decoys at that moment.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, it would set duck hunting back 1,000 years if that happened.
Yes, it would.
I don't know if I could help myself. Like, I would shoot, I would sky blast, which is actually next on the list.
Next on the list.
Before we get to that, though, early teal season was a couple weeks ago. The exact scenario you just described, I witnessed.
Really?
A guy blowing his mallard call at ringneck ducks during a duck season where you couldn't shoot ringneck ducks and where there wasn't a mallard within, you know, 1,000 miles.
And you couldn't shoot mallards either.
Not if they'd have shown up. So it's just like, come on. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
So you turkey hunt a lot more than I do. You see this a lot in the...
Oh, yeah. I mean, you'll be walking through the woods and you'll just hear just a turkey call solid for about 6 or 7 minutes. Maybe with like a 3 or 4 second break in between. And it's like...
Incessant yelping.
All you're doing right now is scaring every turkey within a mile radius of you away. That includes the turkeys that I'm trying to hunt right now.
Right.
Within a mile of you. So, you know, less is more when it comes to calling birds.
So I tease this. Sky blasting ducks.
Hate it. It's like the worst thing you can do duck hunting.
The look on your face right now is like, you said, I hate it. Like, you have nothing else to say on this matter you hate it so much.
That's it.
Like, you're disgusted that this is even a thing.
Yeah. Well, and you see, not to knock on duck guides, because you're one.
I have been known to be a duck guide.
Right. I feel like you do it the right way.
I do.
But some of these guys will just drop off 6 guys in waist-deep water, gator and snake-infested waist-deep water. And just say,
shoot some ducks.
Shoot ducks. And these ducks are 300 yards in the air.
Yeah.
And they're flinging steel at them.
Yeah. I can't handle sky blasting. So the rule, my rule on my boat in my blind, if you can't see the duck's feet or you can't tell what species it is, you can't shoot at it.
Agreed. That's a good rule.
And now, first light, I realize you could kill the first duck no matter what it is, put it on the ground, then figure out what the species was and probably be okay. Still not a good way to go about it. I want to take good ethical shots over the decoys. That's why I play the game, right? It's the same as topwater fishing to me. I'm really in it for the strike.
Yeah.
I don't care about keeping the snook. I don't care about keeping the redfish. I want to see the hit.
Right.
Same thing with ducks. I want to see them come cupped into my decoys. Care less really about killing them.
One more comment on sky blasting.
Go.
So a few weeks ago we were hunting.
Yep.
Early teal wood duck. And we had some wood ducks that came over us that were probably 60 yards up.
Yep.
We could have taken some pot shots at them.
They were probably 40 yards up. I mean, they were
almost edge like of range. Basically in range. And we both looked at them and we both said, that's a little too high.
Yep.
And we let them go.
Yeah.
Because if you shoot at ducks that high, they will never fly lower than that over cover.
Yep.
And that's what we see late in the season, especially.
We call it educating the ducks. You don't want to educate them. You don't want to give them any kind of edge.
Yeah, they flare over any reed patch in any lake in Florida.
Okay, this is going to be a Travis moment here, but I'm just going to say this to the people of America that are duck hunters. Ducks want to do 3 things. They want to eat, they want to poop, and they want to make baby ducks. These are not rocket scientists that we're dealing with here.
No.
Their brains are the size of your little pinky. Like, they're not, let's not give them edges. Let's not teach them things.
Let's not make it easier for the ducks.
Yeah. I like the ducks with their intellectual level at the spot where it's at. I don't want to give them an edge over me because I'm not playing with a completely full deck most of the days.
This is true.
All right, what do you got next?
All right, next we have flipping and messing with switches on your boat console.
Yeah, actually, this was mine. I just threw it to you.
Yeah, no, that's cool. But I see this all the time.
What happens when people do that?
Live wells get turned off and bait dies.
Yep.
All the time. Or you turn on a light or something and your battery dies.
Correct. Do not touch my switch.
Yeah.
Just this area right here is off limits. The console, don't touch it.
Agreed. It's like touching a radio in somebody's car.
Okay. We got spot stealers.
Okay.
And I broke this up into 2 categories. Okay. Spot stealers. As soon as I say that, I'm sure everyone driving down the road is going, yeah, I'm with you on this. Preach. Bring it, brother.
Right.
So they're probably raising their hands, like worshiping a little bit on this one.
All right.
The first spot stealer that I could think of, and I really, you came to mind when I thought of this one. You hook a fish or you miss a fish, and as you're reeling in to rebait, another person in the boat casts into the spot where that just occurred.
No comment.
No comment? You're going to back down that easy?
No. I mean, I will admit, in my younger days, that was something I did on the regular basis.
Where did you learn that?
Probably from you. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. No, I think that's probably fair, honestly, because I can remember doing that to your dad and my dad.
In our circle, you're probably the OG spot sealer in that regard.
You got to get in there to catch the fish. I would like to rule this out as a pet peeve, this particular issue of spot stealing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if you're under 10 years old,
okay,
I think we could give that to you. But okay, if you're like 30 years old and sort of an experienced fisherman.
What if you're 30 years old or 40 years old or however old I am or whatever, and you've got this person on your boat, maybe your wife, may not, but probably, and she can't catch this particular fish. At some point, don't you just have to throw over there to catch the fish? Like, the fish needs to be caught.
That's true. Yes. But I think there's a level of it, right? So it's like the first hit anybody gets in the boat, and that person automatically just, boom, there they are.
That's a risk I'm not willing to take at this point.
All right.
The second kind of spot stealer that we've got, the kind where you take it, you and I go fishing.
We do.
And we go out there fishing, and I take you to a new spot. And I'm like, Nate, this is the new spot, and it's awesome. And we slay the fish. And the next day, I roll up in there, and you and Joe are in there fishing. Not cool.
No, I agree with that.
That is a pet peeve.
Like, yeah.
There's got to be some kind of rule that, as fishermen, we can agree to that says if you fish a spot with a guy, you can't go there with anyone else.
Yeah.
Like, can we agree on that rule?
I agree with that. Yeah.
Maybe you can go there with your family, or is that not even?
I don't know. Like, or you get permission from the guy and say, hey, are you going to be fishing today?
I like that.
If not, can we hit up this spot that you showed me last week or whatever? Now, it also depends on how well known the spot is.
Okay, that's true. Like Boca Grande Pass is not super secret.
Right. Or, you know, a couple of places we fish in that area.
Sure.
Are not super secret places.
Sure.
There are people in there all the
time. The Stilt House in Bull Bay.
Right.
Or, yeah.
Right. And so the cut in Turtle Bay.
Right.
You know, so like those kind of spots, I don't see those as spot stealing because there are people in there all the time.
Correct.
But if it's like a kind of out of the way, little bit of a secret spot.
It took you some work to discover it.
Right. Right.
There's a certain methodology to fishing it.
Those are the kind of spots that you need to either get permission or only go with the person that showed you.
Okay. Yeah. That's a new rule. Henceforth and forever.
I like it.
So, listeners, you need to abide by that rule, I feel like.
Yeah.
Next up, we got jet skis / we're going to say / parasails.
What were those things?
I don't know. Do you want to tell this story?
Yeah, I'll tell a story. So, we're hunting on a lake in Central Florida during early teal season.
A couple weeks ago.
We're sitting there. We got a duck down. It's kind of later in the morning. Things have slowed down a little bit. But all of a sudden, we look up and we see these.
I don't even know what they're called.
Like they're parachutes with a airboat motor on the back of them.
With a like three-wheeled go-kart looking deal hanging underneath them.
On the back of them. I don't even know what they're called. I didn't even look it up.
I'm calling them a parasailed go-kart.
Yeah. I mean, something like that. These guys, there's two of them. And we see them coming from a while off. And they keep coming and coming. And all of a sudden, they're
as though they were the decoying into our spread.
30 feet over our heads.
Oh, not even.
I mean,
the dude over our spread was maybe 10 feet off the water.
Yeah.
The guy that flew directly over us was maybe 30 feet up.
Close.
Oh, my God. Do you know what I thought of? Do you remember that movie a few years ago where the little girl had like a hang glider and she guided the swans or the geese or the cranes or something?
I remember that movie.
I kind of hoped they were those guys and like they had a big flock of something following them.
Right.
Because that would have been big time.
That would have been sweet.
Had they guided some teal into our spread.
Yes.
Teal, for those of you that duck hunt in Florida, are a mythological duck. They do not exist in the state any longer.
Especially this year.
So, yeah. But you see it a lot too, fishing.
Yeah,
you see the jet skiers
doing donuts out in the middle, you know, running up right next to you and slinging water around.
Unfairly, a lot of fishermen will say the tower boat guys. It's not always a tower boat guy, but traditionally you'll see them burn a flat so they can see the fish run off of it, and then they'll come back and fish it later. And it's really inconsiderate. It is a pet peeve of mine. I will say it's lower on the list for me. I think that's just part of the territory. You go find somewhere else to fish. It bugged me more in a duck blind because there's a lot more effort in setting up a duck spread.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
And those guys chased every duck off the lake.
Yeah.
Because we watched them
do it. They did spook the ducks, and we were kind of hoping they'd spook them to us, but they spooked them out.
Yeah, it didn't happen. Next on our list, I've got, this was one of mine, heavy-handed spotlight usage.
Yes.
If you don't know where you're going to where you need like 55,000 candle power lumens, Like from 7 miles away, you're lighting up the Skyway Bridge at night, and people think there's a train out in the middle of the bay. You don't need to be operating a boat, yeah, or a boat.
I mean,
you don't need a vote or a boat.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed on both accounts. And this happens duck hunting too.
Oh my god! Because
you'll be set up on your spot, and then Joe Blow with the 4 million candlelight spotlight is shining all over the lake in your eyes most of the time.
Yep.
Right in your eyes, and you're kind of like, dude, you know, and you flash your light kind of back at him just to say, hey, we're here. And then he's still swinging that light around. You see it reflecting off the water.
It's almost as though that light is attached to you. And as long as it's pointed at you, they can go in a complete circle around you and yes, never take the light yes, off of you. It's like they're the yeah, stage manager in a production of Our Town. And they're trying to keep you right center stage the whole time.
Yeah.
Please, let's stop with that.
Yeah. Use it as much as necessary, but that should be very little.
Okay. Serious talk. Next up on the list, gun safety.
I'm big time proponent of gun safety.
Yeah. But as a pet peeve, like it is near the top of my list because I'd like to not die on yes, any of my adventures.
Yes.
Like that's a rule that I try to live my life by.
Yeah. Don't rule die. Number one of every hunting adventure is don't die.
And fishing adventure, honestly.
Yeah, true.
Gun safety is not as much an issue on our fishing adventures. But, I mean, there's been plenty of fishing adventures we've been on where don't die has been called into question.
This is true.
So, yeah, I just don't want guns pointed at me. I don't want loaded guns pointed in the wrong direction. I just...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, rule number one is keep your muzzle pointed in a safe direction. Yeah,
which is not down in the boat.
No. Not down in the boat.
not in the floor of my skiff, please.
Not at my head. In any form or fashion. The other thing, along these lines, I've seen people who will click their safety off when the ducks are still like 600 yards away. And yeah, we don't even know if they're coming or not. But
yeah,
you can see them and you hear that pop. And you're like, dude, chill, man. We got some time before those ducks come. Or you have people that play with their safeties. It's like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
Let's not play with your safety. Yeah.
This is not a scene from Tombstone.
No.
You're not Doc Holliday.
No.
Settle down.
Yeah. And keep your safety on until you throw up to shoot a duck.
Yes. It takes like a gajillionth of a millisecond.
Right.
To flip the safety off.
Yep.
It should just be part of your motion. If you're not that familiar with it, you probably don't need to be shooting a duck anyway.
True.
By the way, this isn't even on our list, but it just came to me like as though it's just here. I know a new pet peeve.
Okay.
Adults shooting ducks on the water. I'm okay with a kid shooting a duck for his first duck, or you have a really little kid, you're trying to get into the sport, they can shoot a couple ducks. Grown-ups should not shoot ducks on the water. We're not talking moorhens. We're not talking gallinules. We're not talking coots. I'm talking ducks.
See, I tend to disagree with
you
on this issue.
This is going to go sideways in a bad way.
Because my deal is, if they're dumb enough to land, they're dumb enough to get shot.
Oh, no. You cannot whack a wood duck on the water or a pintail. What are you going to... We could go to taxidermist and say, oh, yeah, this was amazing. This guy landed and sat there and swam around in my decoys quacking at me for 15 minutes and I shot him.
Okay. All right. Now, if it's a single duck and it lands and it's... Say it's a wood duck or a pintail.
Say it's a wood duck or a pintail. Say it's a lesser scop.
And it sits here. No, those usually come in like flocks of 300. We're going to go with singles here.
Okay.
So
you're making up the rules in this hypothetical. No,
yeah,
it sounds like to me.
No, that's fine. It's a hypothetical.
We're completely throwing the script out the window
at
this point.
That's right. So it's sitting there and you throw up. I'm not going to shoot a single duck on the water. That's just kind of not how I do it. Like, especially a wood duck or a pintail, because I believe those deserve a little more respect just because of the nature of the duck.
So species. All ducks aren't equal?
I mean, I don't think so. But, so with those kinds of
situations...
You're going
to get hate mail.
Maybe. I can handle it. With those kind of situations, I like to stand up, try to get the duck to jump, to fly.
Yes.
Then shoot the duck.
Yes.
But if 300 bluebills land in our decoys, I'm spraying steel all over the water. I'm knocking birds down. I don't care if they're on the water, in the air. I'm throwing steel at these birds.
Okay. We're going to have to revisit this in the duck blind.
Okay.
Like, we're going to have a little manners meeting, I feel like, because this is just, I don't know where this is coming from, you guys. I apologize to the listeners.
Okay.
Like, what do you got next?
All right. What we got next is shaking out your cast net.
Yeah. So I put this on the list. Do you know why?
I really don't, actually.
Okay. So I thought you might, because we fished so much together when we were young, and we were never allowed to shake the cast net. we have a mutual friend, Robert.
Oh, yeah.
And whenever you throw the net, he'd shake it into his live hole. If you went to touch it, he would say, don't touch my net. So I always grew fearful like something bad was going to happen. To this day, every day when I throw the net, I'm like, don't touch my net. Like, don't shake. It doesn't really bother me that much, but it's a pet peeve of mine for some reason. Like, it just, I'm always cognizant of it, and it's always in the back of my head.
Well, you know, the only person that should be allowed to put holes in your net is you, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so if someone else is shaking your net, you don't know how hard they're shaking it. You don't know what the kind of feel they have. And they could rip a hole in your net if you're not careful. I think that's logically where my mind went.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah. I think it's probably stupid to even have this on the list, but it was in my mind, so I added it to the list.
Yeah. All right, next up we have squirrels.
Squirrels.
So in the woods, you're sitting in a deer stand.
Yep.
You hear something, you're like, oh man, here he comes. And you're like, oh, it's getting louder, it's getting closer. Nice. And then you kind of ease your head around and look, and it's a dang squirrel.
All right. I'm not a deer hunter. You're way more of a deer hunter than I am. You're a recreational deer hunter, I would say.
Yeah.
How much does a deer weigh on average in Florida?
In Florida, 100 to 150 pounds.
Okay. How much does a squirrel weigh on average in Florida?
Less than a pound, maybe. Okay. A pound.
This is a thing that happens. Like, people confuse these.
Oh, yes. They're loud. They sound like 150-pound deer walking through the woods.
This doesn't feel like a legit thing.
Well, especially when the leaves are dry and they're scurrying along on the ground. Sometimes you can hear the pattern of the thing and tell, like the pattern of the footsteps.
Yeah.
Because squirrels scurry more than deer do.
I would think so, since they're like 3 inches tall.
Right. But sometimes they like to pattern their movements when it sounds just like a deer walking.
Oh, do they?
And
does that give them some safety, predators? Maybe.
But I feel like they do it on purpose just to mess with you.
Okay.
Because they see
that
you up.
That seems logical.
If they see you up in that tree stand, it's like, I'm going to mess with this guy. He's going to think I'm a deer walking through the woods.
Hey, I got kids. I've seen all those Disney movies. Those animals are way smarter than we give them credit for.
Yeah.
You know, they sing and dance and stuff behind the scenes when we're not looking.
I'm a little concerned that you are comparing real animals to Disney movie animals.
Yeah, no, but, it's all good. Jungle Book and stuff like that.
That's where you're getting your
that's where I get most of my animal intelligence from. Bears are smarter than monkeys, right?
Bambi's probably your favorite movie, isn't it?
No, not so much on that. All right, next up we got slamming hatches.
Well, just being generally loud in a boat.
Yeah,
right?
My family's going to hate me after this episode, but my family sounds like Vietnam.
When we roll into
a flat and like I could like pull the boat up into the dead center of a flat with no live wells running or anything else, and as soon as we get there, boom, everything slams, everything shuts. It's just, and then what you see is it actually looks like this gigantic ripple as all the fish swim away. It just is like a sundial away from us.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Well, and just like stomping around on the boat.
Yeah.
Like, tread lightly, especially in shallow water. Tread lightly because we're trying to work up on these redfish or something.
Right.
And they're spooky. Yeah. I mean, I used to be really bad about it. Younger, dumber.
The only thing I'm working against me now is weight. I have gravity working against me because I'm not lithe.
I'm not a small guy either.
And I'm not like a dancer or something out there. I'm a bit heavy.
Yeah, we're not walking around like cats most of the time.
But I'm still not slamming doors and stuff.
We try to tread lightly.
So if you do ever accidentally slam a door, act like you meant to do it. Yeah, you can play it off. You'd be like, oh, yeah, I wanted to spook these fish just to get them moving and see what was happening.
Yeah, don't just be like, oh, sorry. Oh,
next up, we got litter bugs. I can't believe we had to put this on the list.
Yeah, you know.
Guys, if you brought it, take it.
Yes.
Like, if it came in with you, it should go out with you.
I always grew up with my dad telling me to leave the woods better than you found it.
Yep.
Or leave the water better than you found it.
Yep.
And I try to live by that nature, even if it's something like I see a can or something in the woods or
that
on the
you
water,
didn't leave.
That I didn't. It wasn't
pick
mine.
It up.
I'm just gonna pick it up.
Yeah.
It takes 3 seconds. I'm gonna do it. You know, because I'm a big proponent of clean water, clean air, and this is part of it.
Yeah. I'm still stunned that squirrels made the list. I'm still in disbelief that squirrels is on this list.
Well, but it's a thing. I mean, it's really a thing.
So next up, pet peeve: gas money. This was among a survey I did. I messaged some of my friends. I was like, what's your number one pet peeve? Boats don't run on thanks is what they said.
Mm.
Boats don't run on free.
Mm.
Part of me thinks if you invite people to go fishing, go hunting, whatever.
It's part of the territory.
It's part of the territory. But I get where that comes from. Like, be courteous, be nice, be polite.
Yeah. Especially if it's like your guy you go with a lot.
Yes.
You know.
I will tell you, Not, I'm skipping over the gas money one at this point. Spiders made the list.
All right.
And you're looking at me funny.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed at the number of people that I hunt with that are terrified of spiders. Okay. And obviously when you're duck hunting, you're building blinds and things like that. And spiders tend to end up in the boat a lot. And actually, a couple of years ago, I started hunting this myrtle rush stuff. And there were a billion of these little spiders in it. And you just walk through the webs. And I'm scared of spiders. But it's a mind over matter thing, right? You don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Well, I live in my truck during duck season. Like my waders stay in there. My decoys stay in there. These spiders hatched out in my truck. Oh, and I had millions of them building webs. So every day when I'd go to get in my truck, they would just be spread out. Well, I also have some friends that I duck hunt with that are terrified of these spiders. And so one of their pet peeves was spiders. They made sure that I mentioned it on the show.
Yeah. Just the mention of spiders hatching in your vehicle gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a couple of weeks ago when we were duck hunting, when we were picking up decoys, trying to get to our spot, I had several spider webs hit me.
Yeah.
I didn't freak out. I'm not a big spider fan.
Man
I don't
up.
Like them,
man up. That's the thing, right? You just deal with it.
As long as I don't feel one like crawling on my face. I'm
right.
Good, you know.
No, they probably are somewhere in your camouflage right now laying their eggs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just let that thought fester.
Nightmares.
When November rolls around and you go to put your waders on, that's where they'll be.
I'm going to have nightmares tonight. Thank you.
So, yeah, glad I could help.
Yeah. All right. So the next one is repeating the same mistakes over and over.
This was another one I put on here. And the thing that first came to my mind is, as a guide, I don't mind you casting into the trees, right?
Yeah.
You got to get where the fish are.
Yeah.
Cast into the trees.
And it happens, especially with inexperienced anglers.
Inexperienced anglers. Like, and I try to set you up so that you can't cast into the trees. You can cast almost into the trees.
Right.
Cast into the trees. It's fine. Cast into the trees again. It's fine. About time number 7 that you cast into the trees consecutively and I have to retie, it's not fine anymore.
Yeah, that's when it gets annoying.
Like, are you not learning what you're doing wrong here? Are you not figuring out that casting across the 3 people in the boat's lines and reeling them all in is not letting anyone catch fish?
Yeah.
Are you not learning that taking a shot at a duck at 65 yards is not doing anyone any good, least of all the duck? Let's learn from our mistakes. So a pet peeve of mine is, let's not make the same mistakes over and over.
I agree.
Right?
Yep.
I had a guy this summer, he casted the first time into the trees. I was like, it's still fine. Don't worry about it. He casted the second time higher into the trees. The third time, I lost sight of the bobber as it went over the tops of the mangroves. And the mangroves are what, 20 feet tall, 25 feet tall? I don't know where it went. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing to me right now? Yeah. I didn't say that, but that's what I thought.
Well, you know, it's like he couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get closer.
Yeah. At some point, you just don't throw it.
Bring it in some.
Yeah, just
bring it in some. So next one we got is people on my boat moving my stuff around, particularly my scissors.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pet peeve because I just laid my scissors down and I knew where I laid them down and now they're gone. The other thing this happens a lot with is your live well net.
Yes. The thing gets lost all the time.
Yep.
In plain sight.
Yep.
Because someone's moves it to the front of the boat.
Yep. They took their shrimp up there. They couldn't carry it in their hand or their greenback and they stuck your live well net in the front hatch or the anchor locker or something and you never see it again. Like, yeah. I probably have 12 live well nets in my front anchor locker. I'll never find them because I don't use the anchor because they have power poles.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on this one.
Last one on the list.
Tarpon anglers running the beach incorrectly, or could we say fishing the pass incorrectly? We don't fish the pass a lot.
I don't fish the pass, so, and I'm sure there's a heated debate there. But
there are some unwritten rules about how you're supposed to fish
it. I think there's actually some written rules about fishing the pass.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty serious about it. But since we fish the beach a lot,
when you fish the beach, and for those of you that don't, think of it as lanes going out in parallel to the beach, maybe every 50, 75 yards. And the tarpon will hang in one of those lanes, generally speaking.
Right.
Maybe they'll overlap a couple of them, but they'll be at that same depth or range. Inevitably, we'll go out there and everybody will be fishing it correctly and they'll line up and you kind of play leapfrog with each other, right? You get in front of the pod or you wait for the pod. And then once they pass you, if you move, you run either way in and down or you run way out and down. Inevitably, there's a guy, and forgive me for this, Nate, because I know he's your guy. He's driving a 22-foot Pathfinder, and he runs right through the middle of all the freaking tarpon.
Yeah, yeah.
And it shuts it down. Like, you can hang it up for an hour at that point.
You got to wait for the next pod to come down that hasn't been run through with a
drives me nuts. Prompt. You've done everything in your power to get out there and get correct.
I'm with you. You know, just if you don't know what to do, watch the other people. Watch what they're doing.
just be careful, be cautious, and be courteous.
Yeah, let's just
wow, the three C's that just came to me. That was amazing.
Perfect.
That's it. Those are our pet peeves.
It's a lot of them.
I'm sure we missed a few. Maybe we missed 1,000.
Yeah.
So let us know in the comments what we missed. Hit us up on social media at CastAndBlastFL or send us a message, CastAndBlastFL@gmail.com.
It's time for Keep and Release.
All right. It's time for Keep and Release. My keep item this week, Nate, is we've talked about Avid Gear a couple times on here. I love their hats. Like, they're my favorite fitting hat. They make great merchandise all the way around. But they released a special edition shirt for Hurricane Irma.
I saw that. It
says Florida Strong. It's got a hurricane logo that's kind of an adaptation of the state seal. So it's a cool shirt. It's $20. And I want to say 100% of the proceeds. Yeah, that's right. 100% of the proceeds go to Irma Relief. So those dollars are going to the Keys. They're going to Naples, Chokoloskee. And this is a company, Florida owned, Florida operated. They're going to make sure the money goes where it's supposed to go, because these guys are hunters and fishermen in Florida as well.
Yeah.
So that's my keep item. Go get you one. If everybody listens to the show ordered one, they would sell two. Thanks, moms. But no, I mean, we've got a good audience we've built. If you guys would go buy one, that money goes right in and you get a cool shirt that shows your support for it. So it's my keep item.
I like that. So my keep this week is free shipping on ammo cases from Max Prairie Wings and like Roger Sporting Goods online stuff.
Because you couldn't afford them.
It'd be like $80 to ship it to your house.
Yeah.
Because they weigh like 30 pounds.
Yeah.
So a couple of years ago, I bought a case from one of these places, and it was free shipping. And I still have some of that case around because I haven't done a ton of duck hunting. Killing.
Right.
But you can go on there, and they'll do free shipping on pretty much every steel case out there. Or a lead case. You could get Dove ammo, too, if you want to. Roger Sporting Goods and Max Prairie Wings, both of them do it.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're running rebates right now. I think they were doing a rebate this year on Black Cloud.
Yeah.
If you're looking at steel shot. But I know the past couple of years I bought the heavy case, the heavy metal, heavy shot ammo, heavy metal case of ammo.
Yeah.
And you got a $50 rebate on the case. So you buy a couple cases, you save $100, and if you got it with the free shipping, it really works out to a good deal for a high end ammo. This is not, you know, like Rio or, you know, the Winchester off the shelf brand. This is a good solid. Nothing wrong with those. They'll kill ducks, but
right.
This is a higher end ammo. So keep and release, as you know, is where we pick one item we keep, one item we release every week, whatever tickles our fancy. This week my release item is PETA commenters on social media.
Good one.
We get a lot of pushback from PETA. We usually will delete it, but it cracks me up. Like, we were talking about this the other day. It cracks me up because someone was like, "You're going to murder an animal? Stop." That was their whole reply. And I wanted to reply to them and be like, "Okay, we're done. We're shutting it down.
You've changed my mind with your well thought out, well informed comment.
Well played, sir.
Thank you."
So, yeah, I'm selling the boat, selling both boats, selling the guns, selling everything. My wife is cheering over there behind the producer's desk, and we're going to shut it all down because that guy sent me a please stop message on Twitter.
And they can get really ugly.
Oh, like,
they'll go tell you to
nasty.
Yeah. They'll, like, threaten to murder your family.
Yes.
I'm dead serious.
To protect an animal.
Yeah. If you want to have an intelligent conversation about this with me, I'm more than happy to do that.
Sit down, crack a beer, and have one.
Let's do it. Because there's some great benefits to hunting and fishing out there, but don't tell me to go kill myself or something.
Right, yeah. So that's my release item this week. I would like to release PETA altogether.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can legally do that, but, I mean, we make the rules for this up, right?
Why not?
I'm releasing PETA altogether.
You're not doing anything illegal by releasing them altogether.
Okay, they're gone. There is no more PETA. I just defunded it.
We made it happen. Stop, PETA, stop. Okay, they're going to stop. Yeah.
Can we send that message out to them? PETA, stop.
PETA, you stop. Me. Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay, so my release this week, since it is coming into fall, every white girl in the nation is getting back into pumpkin spice everything.
That's racist.
Right? So, I heard about this stuff.
Pumpkin spice lattes.
Nah, so I heard about this spray-on pumpkin spice. It's literally like pumpkin spice in a can that you can spray on anything you want and eat it.
I feel like we need to refer to our safe word from a couple of episodes ago. Like, this is uncomfortable.
Why?
Where did you hear about this? What websites are you
surfing,
bro?
I heard on the radio.
Who listens to the radio? We're a podcast. You're listening to the radio. You're like sending listeners away.
Technically, it was a podcast.
Okay. And they were talking about pumpkin spice axe?
No, it's like...
Because that's what I'm imagining.
It's a spray on... No, it's spray on your food to like make anything taste like pumpkin spice.
It's pumpkin spice spray seasoning.
Yes.
I don't believe this thing. Do you have a link to it?
It's on Amazon.
Can we put a link to our Amazon store in the show notes so people can go buy this?
Yes.
They can spray it on their pumpkin pie at Thanksgiving.
And make it a pumpkin spice pumpkin pie. There Isn't that amazing? It's $10.
And it looks like a can of Lysol.
I mean, it looks like, it's a spray can. Non-aerosoled, organic, non-GMO.
I'm going to be honest. You've knocked me completely off my game with this.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, I don't know what to say to you about.
Come on, dude.
This is crazy town.
It's weird.
You're releasing this, right?
Absolutely.
This is a release.
This is a total release.
Okay.
Because it's ridiculous. I don't want my steak to taste like pumpkin spice.
I don't want anything to taste like pumpkin spice. Me except neither. A pumpkin pie. And then, that's it.
I'm with you.
I'm William Thompson. It's time for the 2-Minute Wheel. First up, Travis, bacon or pancakes? I know this question may be difficult and maybe, break you up from your friends, but bacon or pancakes?
First off, what do you pick?
That's a really hard choice because I like eating bacon and pancakes, especially chocolate chip pancakes. But seeming as, I don't like syrup and these are just normal pancakes, I'll have to go with bacon.
Okay, I think that's...
It's a well-thought-out answer.
Yeah, I think that's the exact same answer I would give. I don't like plain pancakes. I like chocolate chip pancakes. I like the ones from IHOP. They're like red velvet pancakes or, I like fancy pancakes. I'm in pancakes as a breakfast dessert.
Okay.
So I'm picking bacon on this. Strong, okay. And I want thick-cut bacon, and I don't want any of this... undercooked, overcooked garbage. I want it cooked perfectly. Like, let's be serious about this.
That's subjective. But anyway, so I'm also going to go bacon because it's not just a breakfast food.
Oh, no. Bacon's nature's perfect meal.
You can have it with just about anything.
Yep.
And pancakes to me, like if I eat a bunch of pancakes, I'm like miserable afterwards. But like 2 hours later, I'm starving again.
And I don't
because there's no nutritional value. It's not adding anything to your body. It's just carbs and sugar.
I don't know that you can quantify a bunch of bacon.
Bacon is, they're fatty, but yes, there's also protein in bacon, right?
Sure.
It's just a little more nutritional value to me than pancakes.
Right on.
Oh yeah, a little extension to my last answer. Feel free to call me weird down in the comments, but I like my bacon really like kind of undercooked and like really like floppy. It's really weird, but...
It's the grossest thing ever.
On to our next question. Christmas or Thanksgiving?
I kind of like Thanksgiving because it kicks off the holidays to me. Halloween kicks off the holidays, really, but Thanksgiving kicks off. That's when duck season starts.
I'm going to go with Christmas, mostly because of Jesus.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to be superficial about it, why not?
Superficial, okay.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast, the best thing to happen to Tuesdays since tacos. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. All production and editing is done by Emily Thompson. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media at Cast and Blast FL.